only the man that God created physically, or emotionally. He's not only the God that man created rationally. He's not only the that he's also the man that God gave logic to. Understand. And yet, he's going to do that.
Can't you see how he's the devil, God?
Can't you see why he's a devil? He is doing this knowingly, with the tools and the knowledge of the tools. He is doing this. And he's pretending to be doing it in the interest of human and humanity. Can't you see how now he's a devil? Oh, you're saying the same thing your father said then. See, man? Your father said the white man is the devil. Came in a little late. He said the so-called white man, Yaku grasped itself, the skunk of the planet Earth. All right? He said, here there, white man, not originally, you got the late stuff. He said the so-called white man, Yaku grasped itself, skunk of the planet Earth. I'm telling you, he was saying nice words. Because if he was nothing but a skunk, that'd be all right. A skunk just makes things smell bad. And he only uses his bad smell to protect himself. Only when he is set, or dressed upon, you know. Otherwise, smell nice. People have skunks for pets. Pretty clean fella, except for that bad odor. Spurts out occasionally when he's in trouble. All right. So, look, but why did he pick skunk? Because skunk has a distinct line down his back, making him distinctly white and black. Meaning that he used nature and science. Black for nature, white for the light of nature. The light that comes out of nature, white representing that. So he picked that because it carried that symbolism. So he uses the science that come out of nature, but thinks up the world in his own defense. You see? So you see how he's using it. All right. Now, let us go back to what we were saying. Not the white man is the devil. White man, if we are talking about symbolic language, scientific language hidden under symbolism, then it's not proper to say that man is white. Because the true meaning of the symbol white in scripture means innocence. Innocence. It doesn't mean deception, it means innocence. That's why the book says that white is not the white of the children of God, or something like that. Then another place says their white is the white of leprosy. Meaning it's the whiteness of a disease. You know, leprosy causes you to turn white. But that is not the sign that you're pure. Leprosy is one of the nastiest diseases man can get. So it says their white is the white of leprosy. So this man, Farad Muhammad, he used so-called white to distinguish between the true meaning of white in scripture and the false white of the devil. Not talking about skin color at all. It's talking about attitudes of the mind. One has an attitude to obey righteousness, that's innocent, that's white. The other one has an attitude to deceive, that's false whiteness. So-called white. So he said, the colored man. You know, you call yourself colored people. I'm telling you what he said now. He said, the colored man is... No, he said, the... Who is the colored man? Ask the question. Who colored man. Then he says, answer. The colored man is the so-called white man. Yaku's drafted devil, or Caucasian, comes from the planet Earth. All right? So what is he saying here? That the white man claims to be really the white man. But he's not. He's a colored man. All right? Listen very closely, because the man that brought this knowledge was an experimenter using the tools of higher science, of the highest of science. Okay, so he says that the colored man is a so-called white man, or Caucasian, not whose rapid devil some of that is. What is he saying here? He's saying that colored man is not innocent. Innocent. But he's not innocent. Color. What does the meaning of color? Color has many meanings. What meaning should we connect with this thing? The dictionary definition that says to flat something. To deceive or flat or falsify. That's coloring something. When you color something, a story, you falsify that story. When you color a story, you take that story out of its original form. You slant it to perform another service. That's coloring that story. All right? So, that's what he meant when he said colored man. He means that that man takes God's truth, and then he slants it. He represents it in his own form to achieve a different object. You see? Now, can't you see that going in accord with the description I've already given you of the devil 666 who gets the science and then he uses it in a different way to achieve his end while breaking the disciplines of that science? Yes. So he's saying the same thing. Now, and can proceed on with this. Why did Farad Muhammad come here and give that great knowledge to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or to the African American people? The ignorant, the most ignorant of all the people in the United States. Even the class that he came to of our kind represents the most ignorant of our kind in the United States. I'm talking about 1930, 1940, 1950, 1960. It just began to change a little bit in 1960 as higher intelligence began to come in. Now, what was his purpose? Why did he do that? One purpose. To show that he was superior. To show off his knowledge. Oh, how can you say that about a man who did that for us? You know what you would be if it wasn't for me? Somebody did that for us. Did what for us? If it wasn't for Allah blessing me with understanding man, you'd be in hell. Be the laughing stock of the world. Oh, you know, we couldn't even tell people what we believe. When we talked to the public, we didn't tell them what we believe. We told them we want money, we want good homes, we want better conditions in our neighborhood, we want justice for the black man. We didn't tell them that monstrous story that we were told. Because the people would look at us as strange and would laugh at us. He put us in position to be made a laughing stock. Yes, as those preachers who got Revelation and the Book of Job and the Book of Daniel. If they get out here on the wire and start preaching that stuff, they're the greatest of people. They were there to turn the intelligent people off. They turned intelligent people away from them. So Farad came with an apocalyptic. Did you understand apocalyptic? It means highly symbolic, but yet containing the tools for understanding. He came with an apocalyptic kind of message. That if you talk it and give it to people, they think you're crazy. Then he didn't give us the understanding of it. He played a game on us. That is to say, you black people, I told you the greatest time. Told you the God. Now then, this is mine. And then showed us the greatest God ever. Never was one like him. Never will be another one to equal him. He is greatest. He's Farad Muhammad. And his mother was a white woman. And then tell us the black man is God. He should have said, look, this God is not quite the greatest. Once one comes from you all, a real black one, then we'll have the greatest. But this one, he's only a step toward the greatest, or toward your greatness. He's to help you get your greatness. No, he says, this one is the greatest of them all. That should tell you something. That should tell you something about the way that man was thinking. He was trying to dupe you into serving his purpose, but at the same time, he was letting his prejudice slip out. Letting his prejudice slip out. See the God? Black I'm talking about is not your skin, buddy. Everybody's saying his own heart and mind, you see. If you think I mean you nappy-head niggas of the God, you crazy. It ain't the blackness I'm talking about. He was talking about the roots of science. The roots of science. Those who have the roots, the origins of science, they have the original knowledge. Which, like the original or anything in us, is always colored black. Yes, when the Bible is talking about black horses, it's talking about the original motivation in you, blind motivation in you, blind urge in you for expression, for growth, for fulfillment. That drive, blind drive. That's what, you know, the horse wear blinders. The drive that is blind is called black. But there are not only black horses in Revelation. Now, you who understand, read something about mythology, you know that originally the four horses were not different colors. They were all black. How do we know? Originally, in Greek mythology, Apollo drove four black horses. They weren't different colors. So you think that this four is an accident, that Apollo had four horses he was driving to light the world? And then you have four horses in Revelation? I think it's Revelation. Isn't it Revelation? Yeah, the apocalypse thing. I got to be. Four horses in Revelation, different colors. What does it mean? It means though they are under different colors, they are still blind. Still blind. So in other words, what it's saying is the natural impulse, though it is expressed in science, in religion, in different other fields, it is still a blind impulse because the knowledge is kept from the people. You see? So, but they couldn't put it on the black horses because they wanted to show that it's not black anymore. It has been brought into color conscience. It has been brought into conscience now. It's not black anymore. But yet, it is the same. Blind urge. A horse has a blind urge. If you understand a horse will run till he dies. Horse has no sense once he gets to running. Once the urge starts, he has no sense. As long as you urge him, he will keep going. You urge him, he will go until he drops dead. So they use the horse to identify the blind urge in the human nature, or in nature period. It's an animal too. The blind urge in the nature. And if you are the black man, it's not talking about your skin color. It's talking about the attitude of your mind. You have the attitude to depend upon your natural instincts because you don't have any logical foundation. So you depend upon your natural instincts. I hope you can understand this. It doesn't mean that you're totally black. It means that you're characteristically dependent upon your natural instincts. By description, you are a people dependent upon your natural instinct. The white man, he depends upon his science. Chinese depend upon his science. The African man depends upon his instinct. I hate to say it, but it's true. I don't like to say it. Because it says we are inferior. That's what it says. It says we are inferior. And we are. But how come we're inferior? It's because the world has hoodwinked us. Have exploited our weaknesses. Stimulated our emotionality so that it will drown out our rationality. We are the victims of the world. And we go along with it because we have nothing to rely on other than our instinctive intelligence, our inborn natural intelligence. But you know, this is the reason why our political state is the way it is. It is because our politicians don't follow science. There now. Few countries are budding back into scientific development, but for the most part, aren't they characteristic of the man here? They're given to emotional decisions rather than to rational decisions. How come you think the people are not following this? Do you think it's because I'm not as good as their preachers? Do you think it's because I'm not as useful to them personally as their preachers? Or as their politicians, any man with a little sense can see I'm more useful to you and to them than their politicians and their preachers. But they're not here following me. Why? Because they have become engulfed in the overindulgence of their emotional makeup. And it drowns out their good senses. Yes, dear beloved people, we have to come together. And we have to accept good leadership. Good leadership is wise leadership. That is also morally responsible. Gonna let you go on a short while. Because they have learned from the wisdom that God revealed that the urge for freedom in the individual is the most productive urge in life. The urge for freedom It will stimulate the sciences, education. It will give new life to the spirituality of the human being. It causes everything to grow. And Allah says in the Quran that you have been created for what? To grow. Been created to grow. And again, Allah says in the Quran that He has given everything its provision in four periods, or in four stages, or in four measures, whatever you want to use in that way of expressing it. Now, what is it referring to? Again, the urge for freedom, equality, justice, truth, which all can be summed up in really one word, freedom. How does man find truth? Because there is an appetite for something in him to be free. How does he come to justice? Again, because there's an urge in him for something to be free. How do you get fire for purity or moral decency? Because there's an urge in him to be free. Is that right? Why does he aspire for material increase or material comfort? Because there's an urge in him to be free. Can't you see the freedom urge? It's characteristic of all the essential or basic urges in man. Yes. So the man, the society with the science of that can explore that urge in man and divert or channel all that power in man for its own selfish production. I'm telling you the truth. I could talk to you until midnight. But I'm going to try to hurry up. But don't think he's holding time. Every time, see, I'm afraid to come here because these holes are so long. Look, if you get arthritis down there, baby, it'll be worth it. Like if you get paralyzed down there, it'll be worth it. If your heart and your mind go out straight. Put themselves through to get knowledge. Fine brimstone. 1,000 deaths. Yes. Now, so let me continue. I don't want to let you go now. I should keep on until I finish. Look. The urge in you. I'm going to show you how it's used. The urge in you for freedom. And work 16 hours. Huh? Why will he work 80 hours a week? He works 80 hours a week because he wants to free something. Something needs to be free. He's trying to free something. We may call it pleasure, we may call it comfort, we may call it release. It all amounts to freedom. There's an urge in him. A lot of people don't want it. Every man doesn't want that. Another man will get his freedom in a different way, right? But the same urge is the same urge. So how come he will work two jobs? Now, because he wants to free something in him. How is that exploited? Here's how it's exploited. They know they've already created a situation where that particular desire or urge or need for fulfillment in you is suppressed. Okay? So they know you have the urge for that. All right? Now, if they don't do something to occupy you, that urge is going to execute itself in society. All right? The key from you executing that urge, I'm just sure this is one of the ways. There are thousands of ways. The key from that they exploit the freedom urge in man. The key from you executing that in society, they tempt you with the the perishable things of the world. And that caused you to work like hell for those perishable things of the world. So now you have really yourself misinterpreted or misread the urge in you. You think the urge in you are for those things that they have put out there before your eyes to tempt you. When the urge in you is not for those things, the urge in you is for dignity. Man want to live a dignified life. Man don't want nobody looking down on him and thinking he's worse than he is other fellow. Man want to feel that he's just as good as another human being because he see all human beings look the same. So man doesn't want to be that way. So man doesn't want to be God. So he will work himself to death for dignity. Yes. And they know that. They know that there's an urge in you to free your own inborn dignity. That's the urge for freedom. And when you sum all the urges up, they may be summed up into one expression. The urge for dignity. The urge for a comparable union with myself. Man want to be comparable with himself. So there's an urge for reconciliation with myself. We may call it dignity. And they know that that's the urge, the true urge for freedom in the man. Now, but that urge branches out, doesn't it? It expresses itself in a real world. Because of the world, it takes four directions. Doesn't the Bible say, and four rivers that come from the garden? The garden is dignity. True dignity that Allah intended for you. But the urge has expressed itself in the world, so it goes out north, it goes south, it goes east, it goes west. All right? And it speaks of four rivers, is that right? Four rivers first, what does it mean? It means first this urge expresses itself purely as a sensation in man. A river represents sensation. River is very sensitive. Water is very sensitive. But it's a sensation that's driving. A river drives. You see? It's a sensation that's driving. So the sensation for this freedom that you don't know, you can't see yet, is driving the man. And it's going out of the garden. Going out of the garden means it's coming from the drive for dignity. For inborn, inherent dignity. Now, how do we know this world knows that? President Delano Roosevelt, he established what they call today the four freedoms. And they awarded me for me resisting the old world Nation of Islam. They rewarded me with that reward, a high prestigious award only given to a few great people. The Four Freedoms Award. I got that when I became Imam of this community. Now, I'm not saying that he sees it exactly, but look what he says. You have nothing, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. Then they go on to establish in the name of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, they go on to establish what the four freedoms are. Freedom of the religion, freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom from hunger, from want, freedom from fear. Is that right? This is what they established as the four freedoms. And they gave me that award, Four Freedom Award. Because they found out that I had my own religious freedom, that I expressed it. I didn't keep my mouth shut. And material wants didn't hold me back from doing what I wanted to do. And I feared nothing but Allah. So they saw that I qualified for the Four Freedom Award and they gave it to me. What urged me to that? The urge in me to be comparable with myself. The urge in me to be comparable with myself. And every time I saw something that the world demanded of me? That in my eyes was the discrediting. My work? I'm sorry, I can't do it. Sorry, I can't do it. That's what I told my parents. They asked me to submit to their own doctrine. I said, sorry, I can't do it. I didn't say, hell no. I didn't say, no, I can't do it. I didn't say, what right do you have to tell me to do something like that? I got witnesses here. I always spoke to my mother and father with respect. And I apologize for even having to break with them on a difficult matter. I say, sorry, Daddy, I can't do it. Why? Because Allah said in the Quran, and that was in my nature, Allah said in the Quran that if your parents contend with you,